I'm going to preach today for a few minutes. I really want my time before you to be short today because we have baptisms in this service today. I'm excited about baptizing people. If you are in this room right now and you've not been baptized in water, today is your day. We would love for you to be baptized today. You say, I don't have my clothes. We have clothes for you. We got shirts and t-shirts and shorts and towels and hair combs, whatever you could possibly need, we've got you covered. This is a wonderful, wonderful day to be baptized. So I want to make sure there's plenty of time for that in this service. But I really need to take one more step, and I'm going to borrow a Sunday from our next series. I already know where we're going, but it just fits right in and works just great. And I want to teach next Sunday about the gifts of the Spirit. We've really been in a series where we've been understanding the Holy Spirit and really from a foundational sense and just making sure that our foundation is really strong, and a part of that is understanding the gifts of the Spirit. Paul talked to us about 9 different gifts, and sometimes they are confused with what we've been talking about, so I think it's a perfect time to bring some clarity to that, and so that's happening next Sunday. You don't want to miss that, but I want to teach today and talk to you for a few moments. You know, when we talk about this foundation and making sure that our foundation is strong, if you decided that you wanted to remodel your house, if you decided that you wanted to redo the bathroom, or you wanted to move some walls and open up a living space, or maybe reconfigure some bedrooms, and you had one of these great construction people come in that said, yeah, we can do this and we can do that, and that's no problem moving that here and taking care of that. All of that can be done for the low price of $99,000, and you know, we take cash or check. Yeah, you know, you find out, but then they say, wait a minute, but I mean, yeah, we can do all of that. We can put your granite in the bathroom, and the kitchen can be marble, and we'll make it beautiful, but we found that you have foundation problems. And there's no sense in you spending this kind of money. We would be crazy to put the granite countertops in or the marble floors in if we do not address the foundation. And that's really what we have been doing in this series. We have been addressing the foundation, teaching the foundation so that we understand where these things come from and we can grow in them. And so week one, we talked about the ghost being real. And then week number two, we talked about the power of three. And then last week, we said the ghost speaks. And we talked about the language, the glossa, the words, tongues. Any one of those teachings will bless you and will build you. You can get on thechurchcov.com and listen to our podcast and get caught up if you missed any one of those, because I think that they are things that will help you understand more from the Word of God. And so I want to teach a little bit today, and then there are baptisms, and I believe there are going to be baptisms in the water and in the Spirit today. But let me read from Acts chapter 8 today. Acts chapter 8, if you have your Bibles and want to follow along with me today. If you don't have your Bible or digital word, it's on the screen and you can follow along there. But Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So you see the working, this work. These are people that have, they have been followers, they have been believers, they are people who have been baptized in water. Peter and John come and they say, "We're here because we want you to know that there's more for you. We came because we want you to know that the Lord has yet more." I know your life has been beautifully transformed. I know your life has been wonderfully blessed, but you're about to find out that there's yet more that God wants to do in your life. And I think it's important for all of us, even as we read this text today and see ourselves in the Word, see ourselves on the page, we may recognize ourselves. Wait a minute, I'm a believer. I've given my life to the Lord, or I've been baptized in water, or I think I'm going to be baptized today. I've got all of that figured out. But then you tell me that there is something else, that there is something more. I think that you and I need to pursue everything that God has for us, no matter what it is. I'm just not at the place yet. I've been at this a long time. I've been around the church a long time. I've been invested, a long time into the work of God. But I'm still saying, Lord, whatever you have for me, whatever you want to do in my life, because I don't believe that I have seen all, experienced all, felt all, walked through every door, or have my eyes seen all that God has for me. So that is my prayer on the daily. Lord, I'm pursuing everything that you have for me, because I believe there is more for me and there is more for you. Do you believe that today? You recognize that? You believe there is more for you? That's not saying, well, wait a minute, why have I lived without this so long? Or how did I not know? Listen, you've had everything you've needed up to this point, but now you're finding out, learning that there is more, and I'm not going to miss that. I'm not going to miss out on that. But look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. This is a fascinating verse of Scripture to me, and there's multiple directions I could go with it, but let me read this. Paul, again, teaching to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Breathe easy. I didn't come to preach on alcohol today. We'll save that for another session, but it's interesting to me, because what this verse teaches me is that, and just what I know about myself and what I know probably about you as well, is that we are going to look for something, we're going to search for something that gives us a supernatural experience. We're going to search for something that gives us a transcendent experience, a euphoric experience. I certainly cannot type supernatural with alcohol or too much wine. You may get that and think, "Whoa, I feel really, really good." But that's not God. You're going to crave something in your life. You're going to want and desire something in your life, something that transcends you, something that goes beyond you. We were created to crave that. We were created with this just particularly shaped void in our life, this puzzle piece, if you will, that it seems like you search all your life, you get all the pieces put together, you get all of the things in place, but if I have any puzzlers in this room, you're missing that one piece. It just, you can't find it anywhere. You've looked under the table, you've looked under the chair, you've pulled the couch cushions, you've asked the dog if he ate it, you've looked everywhere. You're looking in crazy places. You're opening up the freezer and looking behind the peas and the okra. I mean, you'll just look everywhere for that peace. And I like to liken that desire for God things, that craving for supernatural things to that puzzle piece that maybe it's been elusive. Maybe it's hiding. It seems like it's hiding. You've just not been able to find it. And you look in all kinds of places, thinking, well, this piece will fit that, or that piece kind of is in the same shape, and I'm going to see if I can force this over here into that just exact sized hole, and see if I can force this to work, and well, the old country song said it best, I've been looking for love in all the wrong places. I've not been able to find the piece that fits into that place. Let me tell you what that place is. That place is the Spirit of God. That place is the supernatural of God. That place can only be filled by what God is able to do in your life and in mine. And whether I've been searching for years or whether I say, you know what, today I'm not ready and I'm going to go keep searching, I'm going to spoil it for you. I'm sorry, it's a spoiler alert. But it doesn't matter where you go. Anything that is not God is not going to fit in that hole. You can get married again, get divorced again. You can chase this, chase that. It's not going to fit. The only thing that is going to fit in that place is what God has destined for you and what God has designed for you. So I might as well stop running to everything else and just surrender my life to Jesus and say, Lord, I want you to fill this void in my life. Anybody else have that kind of prayer in your world? I want you to fill the void in my life. So he said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Just let that happen in your life, because it's the perfect shape for the perfect sized void or the missing place in your life. And if you'll just be filled with the Spirit, all of it will make sense. Because I believe that each of us are destined to live a supernatural life. The Bible says I was created to be to the praise of His glory. We're made to sit in heavenly places. You may be our guest today. This may be the first time you've ever been to this church before, and you're saying, wait a minute, this is not my tradition, this is not my raising, this is not how I came up. I happen to sit by somebody who is really free with their worship. In fact, they've bumped me a couple of times while they were clapping really expressively. This is just not what I'm used to, and I get it. I have been in a few environments that I thought this is not my cup of tea. But if I can somehow block all of that out and say, you know what, whether she's too rambunctious or he's too loud, or I don't know where that's coming from, but if I can just hold on just a moment, just press pause on all of that and just listen to what my heart is telling me. My heart is saying, you're home. Because I was made to sit in heavenly places. I promise you, we were not designed to be more comfortable at a football stadium than we were in the presence of God. He didn't create us to be more at home in a mall than we are in the presence of God. He created us. Society has told us to be uncomfortable with spiritual things, but it is in me to crave, to want, to desire, when I get into this house, just to inhale and exhale and say, finally, I am home. I am where everything makes sense in my life. I fought hell last week. I dealt with all kinds of mess last week, but I couldn't wait. That's why David said, I was glad when they said to me, I'm going to the house of the Lord. Because when I get in the house of the Lord, that's when everything, the chaos in my life, calms, when the loud negativity in my life is silenced. When I get in the presence of God, everything gets better for me. Is there anybody beside me that loves the presence of God? Woo! this. I love this. I'm trying to be real good because I know we got guests today. But just know that while I'm standing here looking First Baptist on the inside, there was a Pentecostal spinning like a top because I love the presence of God. There's nothing like it anywhere. I've been in mansions, I've been in stadiums, I've been in White Houses, I've been in offices of important people, I've been everywhere, and there is nothing that compares to a move of God's Spirit. I'd rather be in His presence than anywhere. Anywhere. Oh, God. So how, if I know I'm destined to live a supernatural life, if I know that God has been working in my life, how do I get there? How do I receive that? If I'm going to pursue all that God has for me, if I'm going to say yes to everything the Lord wants to do in my life, get real practical and tell me how that works. Because I sense hunger in this room. I sense yes in this room from a lot of people that are saying, I've been here every week. I've heard every teaching, or I caught up. I'm here for this. I've heard everything, and I want this. But how does it happen in my life? I'm going to give you four steps. They're going to be quick. We're going to have an opportunity to pray. Number one, you have to remove all barriers. You have to remove all barriers. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, that's the answer. That's the help that we're looking for. If we want that to happen in our lives, we have to remove all barriers. Because the reality is this: God has more steps in our spiritual journey, but we will only get there to the degree that we are willing to remove the stuff that is in the way. Because for too many of us, we see it over there. We see it up there. We see possibility, and there it is. I come here every week, and I sit back there, and I know God's talking. I want that, but there's just so many barriers. And I can only receive more from God to the degree that I'm willing to get the barriers out of the way. What are the barriers? Man, I don't want to fill in your blank today, and I really don't want to confess all of mine. But the reality is we all have barriers that we deal with. Maybe someone needs to be baptized. Maybe someone ought to be leading a small group. Maybe you need healing in your marriage. Maybe you need freedom from something in your life. Maybe there's an addiction or a stronghold. It just seems like there is something that is in the way. It may be sin. It may be something that has not been forgiven. Maybe you are holding on to a grudge or to a pain or to a wrong that was done against you last week or last year or maybe 25 years ago, but we hold on to that and it becomes a barrier. Maybe it's a desire to control. Maybe it's wrong ideas. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's peer pressure. Whatever it is, if I can remove the barriers. You say, Pastor Darrell, how do I do that? I don't even remember the message that I was teaching a few weeks ago, but someone told me after the service, they said, I have to leave this service and I have to go make some phone calls. And I knew exactly what they were saying. They were saying, I need to go release some people. I need to go ask for forgiveness from some people. I need to go take care of some stuff. I need to go make some phone calls. I got to go deal with some things. Why? Because I feel God's call in my life. I feel God drawing me. I feel God doing a work in my life. But in order for me to get all that He is saying He has for me and wants to do, I've got to remove the barriers. The beautiful thing, I don't want to take that away from anybody. If you need to make a phone call, if you need to right or wrong, I'm not taking that responsibility or that right or any of that away from you. But hear me. All you have to do in this service is say, God, I've got things in my life that I know are not you. And I repent of those things. I'm sorry for those things. Forgive me. Do you know the Bible says that if we will repent of our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins? And then he kicks it so far out of your life that even he himself does not remember it again. Man, we remember it every day. We beat ourselves up with it all the time. But he says, when I forgive you, it's so far under the blood that I can't see it. I don't even remember it happening in your life. That's God who knows everything. He's saying, I forgive you. It is done. It is over. You need to stop condemning yourself and pulling that thing back up out from under my blood to remember it and to lament over it and to regret it. You need to let it go. I don't know who that's for today, but it's for somebody who needs to just accept the forgiveness of God in your life to say, hey, I repented of that. I'm not going to be beaten up by that another moment, another day, another week. I release that. Why? Because I'm removing all barriers. I'm removing all barriers in my life. And then Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter said, that's how it happened. That's how you receive this. You repent. You make a move toward the second baptism. Being baptized in water, repentance is the first baptism. That's how I come into the family of God. I repent of my sins. I acknowledge that he gave his life for me on the cross so that I wouldn't have to die. I wouldn't have to give my life. I repent. That's the first baptism. Then baptism in water. And he said, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So number two, one, I got to remove all barriers. Number two, I need to request the gift of the Holy Spirit. Need to request the gift of the Holy Spirit. That goes something like, Lord, whatever you have for me is good. I'll take whatever you have for me. Not trying to come to Jesus on our terms or come in saying, hey, I'm going to come to church as long as it doesn't require that. I'm going to come and feel this as long as I don't have to go any further than this. I've drawn a line. I've decided I'll follow Jesus right up to that line, and then I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right there. But I've watched many of you progress. You come in and just kind of got your hands to the side, and you know, you're not, they're leading us in worship, and they're moving and lifting hands, and then you mess up. I don't know what Sunday it happens, but you mess up and you start swaying. Kind of got that white people sway going. It's kind of awkward and offbeat, and spend the whole service trying to catch up and get your groove, and it just doesn't ever quite come. But then you keep coming, and you know, it's not lifting your hands sustained. It's not the whole song. It's just kind of, hey, oh, just scratching my head back here. Woo, yeah, oh, hold on. It's an itch right here on my eyebrow. Yeah, before long, it just starts happening, and you just start feeling this, and then you look at yourself and say, wait a minute, this is not how I worship. This is not what I'm comfortable with. This is not my tradition, but I'm enjoying, I'm feeling the presence of God. Hear me. If you've come this far, why would you stop short of all that God has for you? If you felt this much, why would you stop here. Why would I say, no, Lord, I'm good. I know you've got a whole lot more. I know you've got just awesome abundance that you want to pour out in my life, but I'm good. I don't want anything else. No. Tell me about one of your kids on Christmas morning when you're doling out presents that you give them one, you give them two, and you got two more over here under the tree. And that kid says, no, listen, Mom, Dad, I want to be responsible this year. You just keep those. You keep those for next year. No. They won't even look at the first one they opened. They're trying to get into the third and the fourth one. Because we like getting gifts. We like receiving things. We like for things to happen. That's why Brian and Melissa jump on their feet today the second I say, what? We like it. We like for something to be poured out on us. It doesn't matter how old we are. Hear me spiritually. If the Lord is saying, hey, I know you got some good things in your life. I made sure all of that happened. I made sure you got that job. I made sure that worked out. I made sure that came together for you. Guess what? I've got some other stuff over here for you. I've got more for you. We're not going to come in and say, no, Lord, I've got enough. No, I'm saying, hey, Lord, come on, pile it on in my life. I want more. I want everything you have. So if I want it, I just need to request another gift. Request the gift of the Holy Spirit. And let me encourage you today. Don't filter that gift through what is normal. Don't filter that gift through what they say is appropriate, whoever they are. You've got to filter this through the supernatural. You know why? Because normal isn't cutting it. The people that are telling me I'm crazy for going to this church, their marriage is falling apart. The people that are telling me I'm crazy for loving people and committing my life to the Lord, they're the ones whose lives are falling apart. So why would I succumb to peer pressure to fit in with anybody? No, I'm not filtering this through what is normal, because normal is not working. Normal is dysfunctional. Normal is broke. Normal is all kinds of chaotic. I'm going after the supernatural in my life. That's what is normal. Normal is me entering his gates with thanksgiving and coming in to his courts with praise. That's what is normal for me. Normal is, hey, when I get in crisis, I don't curse God. I praise God. Normal is not me running away from the church when tough times. Normal is saying, hey, let me plant my feet right here in this house, because I know some trust in chariots and others in horses, but I know the name of the Lord. I'm going to praise him, exalt him, honor him, extol him, magnify him. Lord, I want the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want it. Not ashamed of it. I want it. I want it in my life. I want it. I want the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. You don't have to beg God. You just ask him, Lord, I want this. Elle and I were home. I was watching the World Series game, and she and I wanted a cookie. And I convinced Elle that she needed to ask Mom, because I knew if I asked, I would get a lecture. I'll do a relationship series sometime soon, as soon as I get mine figured out. We were married 18 years yesterday. 18 years. It feels like it's been 5 minutes underwater. Just kidding. She can't, don't text her I said that. She She going to serve in church kids. She going to miss what I say in here. Praise God. But I knew, yeah. So Elle said, Mom, she put on the puppy dog eyes. Mom, will you make us a cookie? And then she was on to it. Is your father really the one asking? Anyway, we didn't get a cookie. But God doesn't work that way. If you ask something of him, if you want something from him. In fact, he said in Luke 11, I love Luke 11 and 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, the reality is that there aren't evil people in this room. He's saying, you that are sinners, you that think different than the spiritual think. He's saying, as a parent, you just being flesh. I don't want you to see something negative here. You just being flesh, you not being Jesus, you not being God. If you then want to give gifts to every single one of you, short of spoiling your kids, and if you had it, you know good and well, you would do that too. But you want to give your kids whatever it is they want. Whatever it is they want. You want to bless them. You want to make life easier for them. That's you as a parent. He's saying, if you feel that way as a parent, how do you think I feel toward all of those that I created? I want to give you everything that you desire in your life. I want to do everything you need me to do in your life. I want to give you the Holy Spirit and not withhold anything from you. All you have to do is ask for it. All you have to do is ask for it. And number three, I need to receive him by faith. I need to receive him by faith. This is just how God rolls. It's just how it works. He's going to make you take a leap. He's going to ask you to take a step. Because we've learned the last few months, we've been very intentional with our teaching. We started in August with a series called Deep. You remember Deep, Ezekiel. They started out with water to the ankles, and then it was up to the knees, and then it was at the waist, and then it was waters to swim, and each time required another step of faith, because if I want to keep going further into the things of God, then I have to use my faith. I've got to get out of the normal and get over into the supernatural, because God is always calling us deeper. That's why it's impossible to keep coming to church and not feel like you need to take another step, feel like you need to go a little further. We're not trying to pressure you from this stage or small group leaders, but we believe everybody's called to take another step. You just got to figure out what that step is and what it is that God is calling you to do. But I promise you, if you keep coming, we're going to challenge you and encourage you and teach to you and call you up higher, because every single one of us have more in us, more that we are capable of, more that we are destined for. So we just keep taking steps, because when we use our faith, God keeps calling us deeper and deeper. But the next step always involves some unknown aspects. And when there's unknown aspects, the Bible said that faith is, it's not by sight, but we're stepping into the unknown, and that's why faith is required. And I want to tell you today that it can be fumbling faith. It can be staggering faith. It can be unsure faith. You say, is that possible? Yeah, Hebrews talks about them having fear and faith at the same time. Paul said, when I would do good, I've got this evil thing that keeps messing with me. I've got a war in my members at all times. Stop waiting to do something for God until you stop feeling that war. Listen, pinch yourself real hard. If you can't pinch yourself hard enough, ask your neighbor to pinch you, just like they're pinching their 8-year-old kid that will not stop fidgeting in church. Tell them, pinch me. If they pinch you, you're going to know you're living in flesh. And as long as you're living in the flesh, you are going to have that war in your members, because you haven't conquered that yet. You can discipline it. You can say no to it, but there is still going to be the temptation, still going to be the desire. That's why it requires faith. Somebody said, Pastor Dale, you're teaching good. Thank you so much. Y'all are so sweet. So unexpected. Thank you. Make me blush. I'm crazy, I know. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. It's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Hear me. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what you have going on in your life. He's not requiring perfection. That's the misnomer about, well, you know, to come, had a family member, I won't say who it is, but got a family member that was long way from God. And they were having some supernatural things happen in their life, powerful things, and taking steps, and all of a sudden, they stopped, because I've done all the funerals and weddings in the family, and their response was this, and it just kind of tells how we struggle sometimes. They said, I feel like if I keep coming to that church, that I'm gonna have to start traveling like Daryl does. I was an evangelist traveling all over the country and around the world. If that's what's gonna happen to me if I keep coming. See, we start trying to get 8, 10, 100,000 steps in front of the one we need to take right now. The one we need to take right now. And we start worrying about things that are way out there. And the reality was, God wasn't asking them to travel like I do, or do what I do, even be in ministry like I am. But the devil will use anything to keep you from taking the one step that you need to take. So the big lie of the enemy is, you can't go to that altar today. You can't request the gift of the Holy Spirit because you're not good enough yet. So you go spend some time getting good enough. And we buy into this lie. I have people tell me often, I'm not good enough to go to that church. What? There's no perfect people allowed here. We're all a mess. We dress it up on Sunday and button it up, but we're not perfect. We struggle. We fumble the ball. We wrestle. We just know that a just man falls 7 times. Is that what the Bible said? But he keeps getting up. And getting up, ask somebody beside you. I doubt they'll tell you, but tell them, which fall are you on? We just keep getting up. Because our faith says, you know what? I'm not perfect. But God is doing a work in my life. What he wants is a heart that says, I know there's more. Help me take another step. Help me take another step. And that leads me to number 4, finally. We're gonna remove all barriers. We're gonna request the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're gonna receive Him by faith. And then we want to relate to him daily. Because this is not just a Sunday thing. This is a daily thing. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Because you can experience this every single day of your life. Every day. That's why people who make a decision on Sunday, we invite you to the Yes Banners and pick up a Following Jesus book free of charge. You can get one today. It's just next steps. It's just, all right, it's Monday and I had a great Sunday, but what about today? What do I do? How do I figure this out? What do I pray next? What do I say? How do I respond to the thing? It's daily, daily, daily. You know what I've learned about addicts? People that are addicted. They don't want their fix just once a year. Addicts, they don't want their fix even once a month. Once a week. They want it every day. Every day. You know what? I feel an addiction to the Holy Ghost coming on. I want what God has for me. Every day. Every day. Every day. And so I'm believing today that we're going to see all three baptisms happen in this house. I saw people being filled with the Holy Spirit last Sunday. Beautiful, incredible. But I believe all three are going to happen today. Just a few moments. If you want to be water baptized, I'm going to invite you. You may want to be a part of this prayer, so we'll work this out here where you can pray and then go do that if you want to do that. While you're seated, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, there may be people in this room today who need to experience the first baptism, giving your life to Jesus, saying yes to Jesus, repenting of your sin, removing the barriers, saying no to the world and yes to the kingdom of God. What does that look like? What's going to change in my life? Everything's going to change in your life. What about my friends? Don't get 10 steps ahead of this next step. If you feel God drawing you, if you feel God calling you, I encourage you to pray with me. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can borrow my words if you want to. You can use your own words. But something like, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I need to be healed. I need to be helped. I need freedom. You gave your life so I could live mine. You died so I wouldn't have to. So today I exchange my sin for your forgiveness, my brokenness for your beautiful, my pain for your power. Thank you for accepting me. I accept you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand today for people.